Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and Film and Stuff, and nice to have you with us for our first spooky season commentary watch, which was rescheduled because we made the decision to try it on Plex, and we didn't know how many friggin' commercials there were. So we're not doing that.
We made a boo-boo.
Yeah, we made a boo-boo, but we're still good here, and I'm going to introduce my wonderful co-host, Miss Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, nurse.
Okay, there we go. And Miss Rachel is going to tell you all about this movie that she loves. So go for it, my dear.
I am. I know it's not like your typical spooky, you know, ghosts and pumpkins and supernatural horror kind of spooky season offering, but this is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I will go ahead and warn everyone that just triggers of all kinds all the way through. Just if you are a person who gets triggered by things, this does deal with some very serious topics, and they very seriously, like, no holds barred, go there. So, if that hasn't piqued your interest yet, you're probably listening to the wrong show. And, of course, the movie I'm talking about, the movie I'm talking about is a wonderful offering from a little-known director that I am now a fan of because of this movie, Anthony de Blasi. And that would be the movie Dredd, D-R-E-A-D, not D-R-E-D-D. I had to have this conversation with my husband the other day. So Dredd, it is an amazing, wonderful, very scary, scary in your soul kind of movie. And I am more than excited to try this again. Now, we've got it from Amazon this time. We are doing this on Prime. You can rent it for super cheap. You can buy it for almost as cheap as you can rent it. So that's all good and wonderful. And, oh, I forgot to mention, Carl is the semi-virgin on this one. We did mention that we tried to watch it earlier this week, and we had some technical difficulties, as it were.
They're called commercials.
So he did see pieces of it. Well, and you also didn't have your subtitles. And we know you can't hear without your subtitles, Carl.
Right, exactly.
So, I'm the same way. I had the subtitles on mine. His was on the computer, so I don't know. Anyway, without much further ado, I think we should get into this. And you being the virgin, Carl, I think that you should count us in.
And I will do that momentarily, but I do want to share something before we start the movie. And that is, you mentioned Dredd is the title. And so I talked to my former partner last night. We did a show, Stephen Ronquillo. And I said, we're doing a commentary of Dredd for Halloween. He says, why? I said, no, not that Dredd. So there
you
go.
Same thing. Jeremy was like, "What? Why are you guys doing that one? Like, it's not that good of a movie." I was like, honey, I know for a fact you have never seen the movie I'm talking about, okay? Like, even my ISF people don't know the movie I'm talking about. So I'm going to say you haven't seen this one. So, yes, that was specific. D-R-E-A-D, director is Anthony de Blasi. For all you girlies out there, Jackson Rathbone, apparently famous from the Twilight movies. I haven't seen any of them. I don't care. He's one of the leads, so there's definitely some creepy college kid eye candy.
And I must say, having not seen all of the movie, but some of it, there's definitely some female eye candy, too.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, there is not an ugly girl in this movie.
No. This is
and
true.
I
but
am including
normal.
The girl that, you know, has the birthmark. So, yeah, she's
right.
Fucking gorgeous. Anyway, So I think that we should go ahead and save the rest of our commentary for after we get this thing rolling.
Absolutely. Rolling. Never mind. So here's the countdown, folks. We go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then I say go, and that's when we start. So shall we begin? 5,
this show.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So, you know, we've already done all this. I remember mentioning that we seem to have had some really good luck with After Dark films.
No, we have. They did some really good stuff. They were the first ones to start Ty West and a number of directors. They used to come out with like 8 DVDs at one time for Halloween.
Yep.
And 8 different films.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got some of their collections because, yeah, it's the I forget what they're called, but, yeah, it's one of the 8 film collections because, you know, there's all different kinds of collections. You know, you've got the 5
right.
films. You've got the 8 films. You've got the, 8 After Dark films and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
One of the best ones they did is a film called The Grave Dancers, which was Ty West, and that's a great film. Okay, that's a little creepy.
Only a little.
You know, basically, you know, people who want souls, unless they're shoe salesmen or something, you should be a little wary of them. Okay.
So you kind of get the feel that maybe there's going to be some very serenic hedonism in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I knew we were having difficulties last time, is because when you didn't immediately mention that right there, Carl, I was like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he never found
okay.
the subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the writing in this is just, it's just bam, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it's quip sounds too frivolous, but you know what I mean? It's very solid
mm-hmm.
and very conversational, but interesting.
Lots of executive producers. That's what happens on these films.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. See, we forgot to mention that before the movie. Not only is this
mm-hmm.
Anthony DeBlasi, but, you know, the director that I have a little bit of a thing for now, again, because of this movie, it was co-written with Clive Barker. I mean, come
right.
on, people. You know this is going to be fucked up.
Do you have a favorite Clive Barker film?
This one.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it's Nightbreed, by the way.
I can see that. But no, I mean, seriously, if you're asking me that question very seriously, and I'm allowed to say that because he co-wrote this movie, yeah, it's this one. And I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Probably a million times through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job casting it.
I like this lead, the one with the beard.
Yeah. I think that's Jackson Rathbone.
Yeah, I think it is. I can find that out real quick. Hold on.
Yeah. The house in the woods.
You do.
Obviously where he lives.
Mm-hmm. No, that is Jackson. Stephen okay. Grace. Right?
Yep, Quaid right there.
Right.
That was unexpected.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and they don't shy away from the grotesque horror at all, but this isn't a movie that's just a whole bunch of grotesque horror either.
No.
Because the little bits that you do see of, like, blood and things, it's very brief, and it's not a major part of the, like, it could
mm-hmm.
actually have been done without it, honestly, but it's Clive Barker. We got to get some fucked up, you know, visual horror in there.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Getting the sense that maybe Quaid's got a little bit of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Or psychosis,
just a tiny
not
bit.
Quite sure. But it, you know.
No,
one
I'm
or the
sure
other.
He has trauma. He has trauma.
Or psychosis. That's the other thing. It's either trauma or psychosis, because we do not know what those pills are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this is part of the movie that I saw, and you talked about he has as far as a...
Actually, no. She mentions later that it is a birthmark. I've known some people in my life that have something called port wine stains,
mm-hmm.
Where it's just, you know, the melanin in the skin is deposited differently, and they have splotches of typically pink or dark red all over their
mm-hmm.
body. But yeah, she says that hers is a birthmark.
Okay.
But I'm sure that there's some sort of like name for it or something.
Pilgrim Street. That's interesting.
Here.
Okay, not exactly the nicest house in the world. I'm just saying.
I mean, it seems to have fallen into a bit of disrepair since he was, like, what, a six-year-old whose parents
yeah,
were murdered
like
in front of him?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I get it. Six-year-olds aren't notorious for being great housekeepers.
Well, I doubt he stayed in that house since he was six, because he would have been put into...
Oh, I know. I'm making jokes,
like
Carl.
I know. Being slightly realistic here.
And there you
we
go.
We got some rain outside. Need to build another fucking ark here in the New York City area. I'm talking about eye candy.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're talking about rain. You were distracting
yeah.
from the eye candy.
I decided to go back to the eye candy.
Oh, what a pretentious fucking tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Oh, but.
Hey, you know, that's for you, too. There you go.
There you go. I think that sounds fascinating.
Well, this isn't the only movie that sort of has this setup. There's a movie called Flatliners, which had Kiefer Sutherland and Julia Roberts in it. And they were doing a study about what happens, you know, at the moment of death. And yeah, that's a horror movie, too, with a lot of the same setup. This is a lot darker than that, though.
I don't know. Like, he says and does all of these pretentious-ass things, but he's so convincing. Like, you don't feel sleazed out by him yet.
Oh. But they just mentioned Killing Zoe, which is interesting. Written and directed by Roger Avery, who was a partner with Quentin Tarantino. Ooh, a little bit of cunningness. There you go. Always a good thing.
Hey, it's college.
Yeah, true. One night stands. I had a couple. They didn't really work out.
That's why they're one night stands.
So when I first saw that, I thought that was the same girl as the one with the
no,
with the birthmark.
There's two girls in this one.
Right. Redhead.
Yep. And by the way, I think the soundtrack in this one is pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have the montage.
Oh, you've got to have one.
Oh, yeah. But there's no question that what happens in your life, you go and you process it, and that absolutely can be a turning point on how you look at things, and whether you're not, you fear everything that's coming or you don't.
Yeah.
Trust me, I was there at one point. Keys. Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
And I like cheese, but I'm not sure I'd go after that one.
Yeah, right. All the girls are trying to hit Steven over here.
Yep.
Oh.
No, as Rachel said, I'm the virgin. Now, we are at this point here. We got another 5 minutes before we quit. But at this point, I wanted to say that a lot of these type of horror movies have basically false leads. And I'm wondering if this is one of them. We have three people involved in this experiment, and
yeah,
and something's going to go wrong, and which one of the three is going to make that happen? And of course, right now it's this gentleman here with his memories of his folks being murdered. Mm-hmm. Yep. I got to show a little bit of antipathy toward each other.
Yeah. Dear. Trigger warning.
Mm-hmm.
All I want to do is go heat up a burger right now.
See, one thing I do have to say is when we're doing a commentary like this, it's so much better to have subtitles.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't catch any of this. I kind of knew what she was saying. But now I can see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yikes. Why, she's a vegetarian. Wow. Just wow. I mean, like, what do we even say to that?
Yeah. No.
Uh-oh. Okay, so yeah, now that you have your subtitles, Carl, this movie is vastly more interesting than I think you initially thought.
Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing if you're taking all your meds down the drain. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, typically that's not how you're supposed to ingest your medication. I don't know if this is like, you know, some new Eastern philosophy of how to take meds. Just doesn't seem to work for me. I've tried it before. It does not work.
No, agreed.
A really dark movie, but they film it in such a way that the colors really play up the shadows, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's not so dark that you can't see literally, like, everything that's going on. Creepy.
Maybe it wasn't the greatest idea to take all his meds down the sink. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. But, you know, he's trying new things. He's never had a sleepover before. His parents
right.
never gave him permission when he was a kid because they were
mm-hmm.
dead.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm fine. What's up, bro?
Yeah, I'm just fine.
Yeah. Like, no, it's all good, man. It's all good. It was just, you know, teeny little, it was a dream. Just a regular dream.
Mm-hmm.
You don't dream like that? That's not normal. What?
Yep.
Let me ask you another question, bud. How do you take your medicine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. gorgeous store.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a dick. That would be tough. That would definitely be tough.
And just, with everything being so quiet, it just, like, some of these stories.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen again.
Yep.
I mean, I certainly have had that feeling. And you have to deal with that feeling.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, so it's a super indie soundtrack, but I'm, like, in love with it.
Well, there's a lot of grunge feel to this soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not exactly a strip club that I would go to. I'm just letting you know.
Why
I
not?
Like more neighborhoods.
Well, I mean, look, there's boobies.
Oh, yeah, there are boobies there. There are definitely boobies.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been to a strip club that nice before.
Yes. There was one I went to with a friend of mine, Norman Pores, and it was this little one called Billy's. Very local one, and we loved it. I remember when it finally shut down, he called me. He was actually crying.
Oh,
seriously. I don't think anyone has ever met someone who cried over the closing of a strip club. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He is definitely having psychotic breaks here. Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking possibly.
I mean, that's not how the world looks to you. Oh.
No.
Watch. Aw. They starting to like each other.
Yes, they are.
And I mean, obvs, she's got some feels because she has fallen all over herself in the feels for him.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I don't think I've ever had a girl smile at me like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Poor baby.
You know, being physically handicapped or being handicapped was something you could be seen to be handicapped. It's a terrible burden because people do not treat you well.
Yeah.
No. And you are automatically different. You're ostracized. And the thing that you need to do more than anything else is find a place where you're not ostracized because of that. And that's hard to do. That's not easy to do.
So, yeah, she, this is where she kind of fucks up, okay? I'm just saying.
Let me tell you something. What she does here is incredibly brave.
It is.
And
it's
that takes
so
a lot.
Brave. But, I mean, well, you know what happens here, but, yeah.
No, well,
just,
I know what happens here. This is about where we stopped, actually.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it's incredibly brave, and I give her credit for it. She's saying to him, this is the way I'm always going to be.
And
you're gonna
have
to deal with
a good relationship,
that.
You know? Like,
yeah.
He's the only person that's, you know, not made it obvious that he's looking at her differently, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this whole scene just breaks my heart.
Yeah, it does. Well, you know,
and I think he's just one of those guys, he was completely oblivious.
Yeah. I think one of the things you have to realize is that Clive Barker is gay, okay? And the idea of having a character, you know, treated like this because of a physical deformity, he's always talked about how outsiders band together and he's very, very much his sexuality has a lot to do with what he's talking about and how he talks about it.
Oh, absolutely. And I was just going to say, you know, Clive Barker here, and I'm sure de Blasio has a lot to do with it, but they have a way of, like, writing humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are real people. Like, you really feel for these people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real friend there. I'm watching the incriminating evidence first.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So, I mean, like I was talking about with you earlier, this movie is a real slow build. And I think that's actually what we kind of ended on talking about was Clive Barker has
right.
that way of just, you know, it's slow in the beginning. Because, I mean, if you think about the Hellraiser movies, you really don't see, you know, much of the craziness. Like, they take forever setting up the story.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Dresden Dolls poster in the back.
Nice. Cabaret. Mm-hmm. That's one of the
the things, if you have a physical deformity, your body consciousness is not positive. It's another thing you have to work on, too. So this is where we stopped. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Painting.
Yeah, very much so. Whoever they did the paintings did a really nice job.
Yep.
Oh, this is an interesting twist I did not expect.
Yeah, right? Just wait for it, love. It's going to take you all kinds of places.
No, it's Clive Barker. I expect that.
Playing the sweet, gentle, beautiful music right now, so you know it's going to get fucked up in a minute. Well, we already know from earlier in the movie he doesn't have a problem with that, so.
No, that's true.
Girl, let me ask you something. How do you take medicine?
Okay, so you're starting to understand what he's trying to do. I mean, I get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think really, ultimately, it's because he's trying to figure out how to fix himself.
Right. Well, that's why I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Obviously, the timeline on this is maybe, I don't think it's a really iffy timeline, but you don't have a reliable main character at this point.
No, you don't.
As in somebody that you can trust.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the whole point. Because when the shit really gets down, what's happening and who do you trust? And he wants to make the audience unsure of themselves.
Yeah.
This is rough shit.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, we're in Barker territory for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I've seen a few of the other things de Blasio has done, and let's just say
it's
they
his,
wrote a script together because they're brothers.
They're kindred spirits.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm.
What? Bet you didn't expect that.
Wow.
Wow. He's got a nose like a dog. He can sniff out a fear wire in a fucking fear factory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dude, he's going full Office Space on this shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's better now, isn't it? Finally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just said that, like literally.
Yeah.
God. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's not, that's just a taste. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that is not even a wisp of what is about to come. And so it begins. Somebody submitted it.
No. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You what, Bob?
Now, this is not going into a good place, I can tell.
No. No. Nobody's in a good place right now. Hell, if we don't change our ways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to the limits. Drinking and driving the eyeshadow blue Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. New York.
No solution.
Nope.
Sorry, experiment failed. Let me apologize for real this time, bro. Can I give you a ride home?
Mm-hmm. No.
There's reasons I'm scared when other people drive cars with me in them.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose or not. Gone with a switch. That means
right.
Somebody was in there to turn them off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is not good.
No.
This is not good at all.
0% of good. So, like, I know that they had to make these females kind of dumb, you know, to move the
mm-hmm.
storyline along. But, bitch, please. That man has already shown you how unstable he is, and you're going to go investigating some creepy trap door in the basement of his house? No, thank you.
Mm. Yeah.
Remember, he said he destroys the pictures after.
Yeah. So this is not the first psychotic sleeper movie I've ever seen. One of my favorite films is To Live and Die in L.A., and Willem Dafoe plays a really fucking crazy painter. He's also
Did I make you watch Spiral with me?
Which one are we talking about? Are we talking about the Japanese one?
No, the American one with Joel David Moore.
No, no, I've seen that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That one is by the same guy that did Hatchet.
Okay. Oh, I liked Hatchet, by the way.
Oh, I know you did. But Spiral is
serious. Our audience know that, too.
Yes. No, Spiral is super, super serious and quiet and got a weird jazz soundtrack. So, Played Face reminds me of if, like, young Kevin Bacon and young Gary Busey had a love child.
Okay.
It would be Quaid. Can you see that?
Yeah. No, I definitely can. I definitely can.
Going, huh? I think that bucket's important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what school is this gorgeous-ass place? We have to figure that out because it is just beautiful.
Hold on. I've missed her.
Uh-oh, this is where it all starts.
Okay. I got to go back.
Trigger warning from here on out. Just straight up every kind of trigger ever. Carl.
I am. Oh, God.
Like it's, yeah.
I mean, that's not good at all.
Yeah. And it's just playing on a loop on all of the campus televisions. I don't know if you noticed that in the background. And she was so happy, like 2 seconds before that. Did you see how lit up she was?
No, I'm not seeing where it was filmed, but I can tell you this. It was England.
Oh, deaf kid. So, yeah. Uh-oh.
Okay, so it didn't. So this is the guy who is really psychotic. So
yeah.
There wasn't a fake psychosis in this one. A fake out, like a.
Yeah, but this psycho goes to levels you would not believe.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. We're talking Barker here. Have you seen the Midnight Meat Train?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. Barker is one of the few people that I can deal with the extremities that he goes to.
Yeah. So, yeah. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck? You know where this is going, Carl.
Oh, of course.
Oh, God. Oh, my heart is just breaking.
Jesus.
Yeah. Brillo pads and bleach.
Out.
Yeah. Sorry, there's like.
Well, this is rough.
Like, what can you even. Like, I can't fucking breathe.
Mm hmm.
He remembered his prayer. Okay, so yeah, back to the fact we're doing a commentary watch.
Yeah.
Like I said, it just. He has a way of, yeah, I'm still having trouble breathing right now. It's like, oh, this is so hard.
I'm afraid I'm not having the same reaction. And I think part of it is I expect it.
Yeah.
It's expected.
Well, yeah, but it's still, it just... It's hard.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not effective. What I'm saying is expected. There's a difference.
No, I know. No, I know.
Part of that is how many films have we seen and sort of get the idea of everything.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Now, I'm going to say it's been a few years, and I don't exactly remember everything that happens in this movie, but I know. The axe. Oh! What is that we always talk about? You know, they...
What?
talk about the axe in the beginning. They better be using it by the end.
Called the Occam's Razor.
Nice. We still don't know what's happened to Cheryl, though. What a wuss! You think he cares?
Yeah.
He's just like, you can see those gears whirring. Did he do?
No.
Yeah, sorry, I got quiet again, but it just...
Yeah.
It's so riveting. I mean, I know you expect this, but... It's still very well done. That's a good word to describe it.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah, that's That's just And you have to only imagine what it is she's covered in.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm not watching that. Sorry. Not watching that. Turning my head. It's okay.
I'll tell you when it's safe. She eats the whole thing.
I know.
Fucking bone. All right. You're safe now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Which that alone could kill her. There is this thing you get from food that's been left out. What is going on?
Yep, kid.
Yep.
Nice. I think there might be some karma here. Maybe.
Well, I'm not saying anything.
No, nor should you.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Again, I do have to say, it seems predictable to me. It's unfortunate that I say that.
It is a little bit. I love this movie.
I know you do. And I don't want to badmouth it by any means. I think the acting's really good. Everybody gets a real good chance to shine in this. There's no question of that.
Oh, yeah. I think it's fucking fantastic. I think it was perfectly cast.
Oh, some angles there.
So now, yeah, now we're getting down to the almost boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Contend with.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Well, that just happened.
Yeah.
Completely lost it. You know, and he said his nightmares stopped cold, but I really don't believe that.
I don't either.
I think Quaid is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Wounds are notoriously hard to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't think Steven's going to make it.
I don't think so either.
And there you have it. There's just two dead people. Yeah, that kid completely
mm-hmm.
lost it. Notice he's not even wearing socks or shoes.
No.
Yeah, he didn't let her go. And there you have it.
Ouch.
Did you expect that?
Not particularly. But
ah.
Then again, I have to admit, it is Clive Barker.
Yes, and I told you every time I've talked about this movie that you have to watch all of it and get to the very last scene.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fucking wait for it. Because it goes there. And then it just really fucking goes there.
Yeah.
And that is what got me about that movie, is that just very final moment of, oh, my God. He really
mm-hmm.
would go with that. And I just, it was like chef's kiss, man. It was absolutely perfect. And
well,
so, yes, I know some of it was predictable. Like, you know, they do set it up pretty well, I mean, and very thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, of course, they don't shy away from the setup. Like I said, once they start going, they just, it goes.
Yeah.
Now,
interesting thing with the ending of the film, right, which, of course, you know, gets into cannibalism. One of the movies that Stephen and I are considering very strongly to do, even though we've done it before, is Ravenous.
Oh, that's a good one.
And another one of my favorite cannibal movies is Parents.
Yeah, yeah, we did that one a couple years, last year maybe? 2 years ago?
Anyway,
I remember we did Parents. It was great. That's one of the ones I have on my set with Blood Diner.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I didn't really think about it in the cannibalism aspect. Just the fact alone that it's meat at all was enough. And so, yeah, after completely fucking breaking that woman,
mm-hmm.
here you go, bitch. And you notice, like, he didn't let her wash her hair or anything, but he had cleaned her up a bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Now, I've got to say a couple of good things here. Because, unfortunately, I've said a couple of not-so-good things. I think that Blasio, the director, does a really good job with his actors.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really thought this was well done that way. And that I give him a lot of credit for. Because you see a lot of these type of films, which are indie films. We talk about micro-budget, of course. And the actors sometimes don't go up to the level that they need to. But in this case, everybody did really well, even the smaller parts.
I know. That's what was so intense about this movie is, like, they all take it that extra. I don't know. Like, it was intense. It was believable. It was. They really made these kind of pretentious characters into people, and it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it's also good because, you know, it's bringing up things like you never know what's going on and why people are the way that they are. Yeah, I mean, she didn't want to be a pretentious vegan. Meat, the smell of meat and blood literally made her vomit. So, yeah, and it's understandable why. So, for being...
Well, that works pretty well.
Yeah.
No, but there are a couple things. I mean, there were so many red flags with our main character that I would have gone running real fucking quick. And
but if you think about how young and stupid you were in the college days, and, I mean, how, frankly, Quaid could be pretty charming and intense, you know, and that's what, like, you know, a lot of people were going for was, you know, the intensity and smart and, you know, doing something different. So he was checking all those boxes for, you know, a college kid wanting to be different and make his own way. So, of course, Quaid, like, you know, he set the perfect trap. I really think, I don't know if he went into this, like, in the beginning, thinking he was going to take it as far as he did.
Right.
Kind of manifested slowly as he was realizing that he wasn't getting what he needed. And this was basically, like, the birth of a serial killer. So that's something I've always thought about when I think about this movie is, like, did he know he was going to take it this far?
Right. Yep.
So I just, yeah, I don't know. Like, what was he planning on doing with her when he had her locked up the second time? Like, mm-hmm. did he know he was going to have a dead body to throw in there with her and a pocket knife? Or mm-hmm. was that like a spur of the moment, like, you know, stroke of genius? Well, stroke of evil genius?
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered. That's why we have to talk to this director at some point, because I need to know the answers to these questions.
Well, let's give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. I certainly would like to talk to him also.
Yeah, but he's got a few more movies. I need to look at him on the Amazon.
I'm going to look at him too. It's a question I'm going to look at.
Yeah.
No doubt about
it. Yeah. Because he had one that came out rather recently, and I think it's on Amazon now, which is why I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
Really quickly, guys. Sorry, I should have been more prepared on the ball with this one.
Well, that's okay.
Let's see.
Okay. At this point, I think what we need to do is do a quick sense of housekeeping. Because is busy. We is
somebody
busy, kids.
Yes.
So, upcoming, of course, is the Shaka Go Go Film Festival. And we have numerous things happening with that. But first, let's talk about tomorrow, which is the 8th, Sunday, 8th of October. And it's Rock This Town Radio with TC, and it's Rocktober Part 1. And what he's doing is he's taking each day of October and playing a song that relates to the history of that particular date. So that's kind of cool. And he's going to do three of these. So I think that's pretty cool. Then Monday we have Miss Vicky's going to be with us, and she's doing a commentary watch on Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Now, on Tuesday the 10th, we have our second Shaka Go Go Festival special. We have director Charles D. Lincoln, and his film Bishop's Cove is going to be premiering at the festival. Then on Thursday, we have Shaka Go Go Festival special, and director Victor Bonacore and his film Thrust. And the Wednesday beforehand is not set out in stone, but John Killian is going to be joining us from XB Planets, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on with him and all his paranormal investigations, and we may even do a movie commentary. That is not set up yet in stone, so I can't really say exactly what we're doing. Then on Friday, Adam has, give me a second. Oh, at the Catholic Ray Mission, of course. And they're going to be talking about the works of Mike Flanagan. Mike Flanagan gave us Dr. Sleep and The Haunting of Hill House and numerous things, including one of my favorites, which I now slightly forget the title, Midnight Mass. That came back to me. And so I'd say that's a pretty busy week, wouldn't you say?
A little bit. You're definitely making moves, Carl.
There you go. I don't know what kind of moves, but kind of moves. Never mind. I was trying to come up with a joke, but it didn't happen. And anyway, again, your schedule is such that we don't know when you're working. So you're welcome to come in on any of those shows. And the next time we know that you're off, I want to do a couple more commentary watches. We may even go into a little bit of November into that, too, because it's busy with this film. Because I will be gone from the 18th through the 22nd, basically, because I will be at the festival.
Yes.
So... there we go. I got a busy month in front of us. We won't even say what's happening at the end of October. Yeah, we're going to keep that under wraps. So there you go.
Yes. Well, and I just want to say, as far as director Anthony de Blasi, I've seen a number of his movies, actually, but he's got one called Last Shift. Let's see. We've got Most Likely to Die. Malum is his new one, and boy, is it bloody and interesting. There's Extremity. That was the other one that was really good. So, yeah, he's got a few. He deals pretty much strictly with horror and, yeah, was also a great one. He's got a thing for, you know, leading female police officers. So there you go. And I am super excited for everything you've got coming up, Carl. Of course, I'm going to be involved as much as I can. But like you said, with the new work schedule, we have no idea. So... beyond that, I hope everybody enjoyed that movie as much as I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're very, very happy that you joined us either today live or perhaps later in the day and later in the week or later in the year. Always glad to do these commentary watches. And I think at this point, I think we should say good night, good afternoon, or whatever the hell it is. What do you think?
Let's make it a good one. All right. Have a good one, guys.
Okay. Have a good one, folks. Thank you very much for being with us. Good night.